There is a line in the Gettysburg Address that should trouble you. And it goes like this. And so now we are testing whether this nation can long endure. Now, why in the world would Abraham Lincoln put that sentence at the beginning of a hastily written speech commemorating a battlefield? Because, in the words of his biographer, it was at the forefront of his mind. You see, the one thing that Lincoln feared is that this nation would not survive, would not endure. And he had good reason to fear that, because most of the political thinkers of his day believed that the American experiment of government by the people, of the people, for the people, would not survive. Most of them believed the experiment would be a failure because they embraced the philosophy that if you give the people the keys to the treasury, they'll raid it. And they believed in general the people really don't have sufficient education, self-discipline, integrity, or ethics that are needed to govern. But that was Lincoln's day, Lincoln's time, Lincoln's society. This is our day, our time, our society. How are we doing? In Lincoln's day, the North was divided against the South, which led to an all-out civil war. In our day, there are those who will lead you to believe the same thing is going on. Not the North against the South. What they try to lead you to believe is this: you're not first an American. First, what you are is the member of a group. Maybe you're a man, or maybe you're a woman, or you're the member of an ethnic group, or a social group, or a political group. And then they will try to lead you to believe all the other groups are at war with your group. So the nation is divided, they will say, one against the other, and it will not survive. And so, what they show on television so many times is protest, dissension, civil unrest, political arguments. But those are the same people who will also lead you to believe that God doesn't need America anymore. We used to, but not now. No God in public places anymore. We don't want prayer in the school. No Merry Christmas. And the motto, "In God We Trust," is old-fashioned. And for those people, indeed, in their lives, there is division. There is not unity, and they do not have peace. I have a good friend named Father Bob Hunt who used to tell the story of a teenage boy. And the way he would tell a story is this way. One evening, the teenager was very emotionally upset with his parents. That happens, doesn't it? And the boy said, "I hate you. Get out of my life. I don't need you anymore." And as Father Hunt tells the story, of course, the teenager is correct. Teenagers don't need parents. What do they need parents for? For example, if the teenager gets hungry, all he's got to do is open the refrigerator. It's filled with food, nutritious food for him to pick from. And if he wants to wear some nice clean clothing, what does he have to do? Just open the closet door in his bedroom. And it's filled with freshly pressed, freshly washed clothing hanging neatly on coat hangers for him to wear. Of course, a teenager does need an education. And to get that, what does he have to do? He doesn't need parents, just step out the door. And a chauffeur-driven yellow school bus, air-conditioned, will drive up and carry him to one of the finest educational institutions that there is. And in that educational institution, he has everything he needs for his education. Laboratories, computers, trained teachers, air conditioning. Why does he need parents? But of course, if the teenage boy's parents took him seriously, and they don't, but if they did and they got out of his life, he would soon discover that when he opened the refrigerator door, there is no food. When he opened the closet in his bedroom, there are no clothes for him to wear. And of course, without money to pay school taxes, there's no bus and there's no school. And with no money to pay the light bill, there's no air conditioning and no heat, so you'd be very, very uncomfortable. People will lead you to believe America does not need God, or just like that teenage immature boy. It seems to me that in America, what we need to do is to follow what God asks us to do. What I have just spoken about, what does all this have to do with the gospel? For that matter, what does it have to do with you? After all, this is a government of the people, by the people, and you're the people. So what are you supposed to do? In last Sunday's gospel, and in today's gospel, Christ tells you precisely what you're to do about all of this. Last Sunday, he said, love one another. Turn the other cheek. Go the extra mile. But of course, I'm thinking at the time, if you do that, doesn't that give your enemy an advantage over you? Doesn't that give you a weaker position? If you love your enemy, turn the other cheek, go the extra mile? Well, this Sunday in the gospel, what does Christ say? Trust me. Don't worry about the results. Love one another. You can't change the future. I'll take care of the results. You see, I believe that God has taken care of America since its inception, continues to do so, and will continue to do so in the future, in spite of what those who don't have God in their lives try to lead you to believe. I believe God has taken care of you all of your life and will continue to do so in the future. In the first reading today, Christ said, God will never forsake his people. So if you want unity in your nation, if you want unity in your family, in your country, in your personal life, the formula is very simple. Love one another and trust God. If you do that, then you can find hope. You can take courage. You can have confidence. In the closing words of Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, which read like this, and this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth.